Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 903, 713-780-3776, 713-780-377. I think we, Lance just doesn't believe in Yordan. I do. He loves Mike Trout, and that's fine. But I'm a big believer in our guys, okay? And I think that
you've got Yordan and Tim, Cup fan Tim said, he pointed out, Jeremy Pena and Yordan are your new first ballot Hall of Famers.
And Kyle Tucker. Don't forget Kyle Tucker.
And Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
All future somebody else players because we don't hang on to our best
guys. Oh, yeah. Have you seen Jeremy Pena's OPS? Okay. Right there at 1,000? Thanks. Good night. Okay. Where's Carlos Correa's? Not there. Not 1,000. Okay. So, okay. You can have your guys. You keep talking, ooh, we lost Springer. Ooh, we lost Correa. Oh, guess what we lost? We lost a bunch of dead money, but dead weight. Okay?
Wow.
That's what we lost.
Wow.
Yeah.
You cut all ties with them.
Yeah.
He's called Carlos Correa dead weight.
Yeah. Yordan and Pena, latest additions to Johnny G's list of Astros first ballot Hall of Famers. Yep, that's right. That's right, Cub fan Timmy. Who are your first ballot Hall of Famers on the Cubs? No one. Suck. Team of suck. Come on, Godfather. LSU was in Houston for Texas Bowl against Kansas State with no starters, plus third-string walk-on quarterback. That's true. That was the team. That was the game, Lance. LSU had zero players left. You remember that against Kansas State?
Yeah.
I mean, that was awful.
Yeah, that was truly – that was actually the game I was thinking of, but Ole Miss was another one against Baylor, where Ole Miss, especially once Ole Miss had a bunch of players out, and then once Matt Corral got hurt, that was a wrap. But no, the worst was, that's right, it was
LSU
and Kansas State. LSU.
Yeah. I mean, when I
said that, was like literally a joke.
I was outside the stadium when LSU walked in, and I went, oh my God, it looks like a high school team. Oh, they were so small. So it was all a bunch of – it was just all walk-ons. It was like, holy crap, is that bad? That is really – I should have just laid everything on Kansas State that night. And I didn't. I would have sat there because, you know, I'm with my family. We're all in purple and gold and my wife's family. And I just would have been rooting inside. You've never done that, though, bet against the Longhorns while your wife is – right? While your wife is rooting for the team?
No. Why would I do that?
No. Because you're an ally, right? You're for the cause.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You always cheer for your hometown team, your wife's team. Whoever your wife's team is, I'm all in on the long
game. Yeah.
She knows that.
We'd never do that.
Huh? What?
But that's a...
You hear that in the background? She just said, no, you're not.
She's
in the room here.
What'd you say?
She said... What did she say?
Here.
Put her on. I want to hear about her 4:36.
John wants it. Hold on. Come here.
She won it. She got in. She ran it in 4:36.
You don't cheer for them. You cheer for them to lose, is what she said.
Yeah. Oh.
That's not. Nothing could be further from the truth. I was for them, and then they locked me out of the house, and then Texas lost because they locked me out of the house. So I wasn't the jinx. You actually reverse jinx your own team. Nice job, you and Motti.
Tell her congratulations on her 4:36 marathon.
John said congratulations.
Stop saying her time.
She thinks you're really rude.
No, I'm not.
She's embarrassed by her time.
I ran the half marathon in under 2, but okay, 4:36 is fine too. That's great. Okay, but never mind.
She's actually, no, you need to be quiet. She's actually really mad at you right now.
Why is she mad at me?
She's like legitimately.
What are you talking
She's
about?
Not
I'm
proud of it.
Congratulating her on 4:36.
Let's change the subject. It's not good here. Let's change the subject.
RJ, did I say anything?
She is literally has bone on bone knee issue.
You be the arbiter here. Did I say
anything? Literally, people cannot run any longer and have to get knee replacements. My wife finishes at a marathon, and you're blasting her for her time. She is not happy.
I loved her time. I'm saying thank you. Yeah.
Trust me,
I'm
it's not good in this room right now. She's off of you. She just said some bad words about you, and we're on to the next thing.
Goodness gracious.
She just shot multiple fingers.
The translation is not going through. I'm trying to congratulate her. I wanted her on the air to talk about
it. Well, it ain't working. No, that's impossible now. Yeah, after what she just said, no.
No.
She's no.
She'll drop those F bombs in the air.
She's like for real mad at you. Yes, I would not get her right now.
What are you talking about? Oh my god.
So what are we talking? So what's the deal with Jordan?
The women in your family get mad at me for absolutely no reason. It's unbelievable. Pena, let's get him in here. Pena, what's going on? He wants to talk about the NFL draft. What's up, Pena?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, John, your last segment talking about Jordan and Ed Tucker, that just proves why you're out of Houston. Like, come on, whatever Lance and Dell says, come on, Dell, like, whatever, you suck. RJ, Lakers suck. And, Lance, can you give us some player comparisons for Sauce Gardner, George Karlaftis, and the defensive end coming out of Florida. I can't remember his name, Florida State. Thank you. Have a great day.
Jermaine Johnson. Who was the second one?
I didn't hear. Did you hear that one? I didn't hear that one either. Sauce Gardner and – just do Sauce Gardner.
I didn't hear
Gardner
the second one. And Jermaine Johnson. For Sauce, I've got Richard Sherman.
That's pretty good.
I've seen some other ones. He's actually he's hard to get a good comp on because partly I wanted to say Dominic Rogers Cromartie. I think that actually might be a better comp, Dominic Rogers Cromartie, because Sauce is much faster than Richard Sherman. As for Jermaine Johnson, hold on a second. I'll give you my comp on Jermaine Johnson. It will it'll take just 1 second. And I didn't hear who his second player was. Or I would give him the second player. Jermaine Johnson comp was Max Crosby, but I don't love that comp now. It's Max. It's not the same physically. They don't look the same, but they are. No, I don't even like that comp. I'm changing it because Jermaine Johnson is a great really good run defender, but he is becoming a much, much better pass rusher. But I don't love that comp either. I would say for Jermaine Johnson. I have to think about Jermaine because I need to recomp him because I don't love Max. After I saw him at Senior Bowl, I don't love the Max Crosby comp anymore.
I feel like they don't look at all alike, but that's what you have to do.
Well, physically they don't. I'm not trying to look at the physical for them. I was looking at the playing style, and I like the way they attack the pocket. But Max Crosby is not the same. They play at the same intensity. Max is not the same run defender that Jermaine Johnson is. I feel like Jermaine's a much better run defender at the point of attack from a strength standpoint. He's a stronger guy than Max Crosby. But it was really more about the rush, I think, in that particular instance. So, I don't know. I have to look at him. Jermaine is a guy that I would not mind having for the Texans. I can tell you that. If he were at 13, I'm not sure personality-wise they're going to love him. So, that's just what I've been told. But we'll see. But I wouldn't mind him at 13. I think he's a dang good football player. If they ended up with Sauce Gardner at 3 and Jermaine Johnson at 13, I think they got two good football players. I'll put it that way.
All right, 912 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776 713-780-3776 is the number to hang. Well, we've got some prop bets that I want to get to on NFL playoffs.
On NFL playoffs. Okay.
NFL playoffs. When we come back right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, you got to talk about your patio.
Texas Custom Patios is a company who takes you from start to finish. They come out, they look at your space, right? Your outdoor living space. Now, for some of you, you'll just have the back of your house. It'll be like a pancake booty. It just goes flat, boom, and there's nothing that extends beyond the back door. You don't even have a breezeway. Or maybe you have a breezeway, but you don't have anything else. It's just maybe a two-story home and it just goes straight up and down and that's it. That's okay because they can see the space and they can envision things that you can't. That's what they do, and they can draw it up for you in their CAD drawings. They create a lifelike, very realistic rendering, and what they're able to do is build it on your existing structure so that it looks like it was built that way from the very beginning. It does not look like an add-on. It doesn't look like something that's out of place. Far from it. It is incredible the way that they build the product so that it looks like, you know, the outdoor living space looks like it was as part of your home whenever your home was built, 1950, 1970, 1980, 1960. Doesn't matter. It looks like it's always been there. It's beautiful. They've got outdoor, you know, you've got your televisions, your big screen TV, your sound system up in the gabled roof, your big fans that they can put out there, a kitchen just the way you like it. If you want a if you want a fire pit or maybe you want a fireplace, they can do that for you as well. Whatever you can conceive, they can build for you. And even when you can't conceive it, they can. And you can truly have an outdoor oasis. And they've been doing this now for years, and they've done thousands of products and programs. So make sure you go to TexasCustomPatios.com, see the before and afters, and find out how they can turn your house into a home and help you live your best life. It's TexasCustomPatios.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks!
Conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. In about 13 minutes, Brett Boone is going to join us here on the show to talk some baseball. He wrote a book, My Life in Baseball's First Family. Big League Stories from My Life in Baseball's First Family. You know, the Boones were considered with their dad, Bob Boone, being a catcher in the big leagues for all those years, and then Aaron and Brett, they were considered. Are they still baseball's first family? We know the Mannings are football's first family, right? Although, Clay. God, oh well, I can't even
Matthews,
think of
the Matthews.
Yeah,
Matthews. But you got cousins. You got some cousins there, so that's not the same.
Well, but Bruce, I mean, there's a Clay, lot Matthews of Matthews senior that cousins. Played. There are a lot of Matthews that played in.
Who are the Matthews? Jake is the son of Bruce, and Clay is the son of Clay Senior.
Right.
So I mean, you're in the on the tree.
Yeah, I guess the Mannings are.
But the Mannings are all
much more accomplished, right?
Yeah, and then you got Arch Manning that's going to be coming down the chute. So yeah, it's definitely the Mannings.
Yeah, the Mannings. Are the Boones still the first family of baseball?
I guess so.
I guess so. I don't know.
I don't.
The Griffies?
Who else would it be? What about the Guerreros? There's only two Griffies. Yeah. There's only two Guerreros.
Do you have to have more? I think you. Well, the Alous had three brothers playing at the same time.
Yeah, back in the day, Matty and. Yeah, Philippe. He had three way back in the day, and then one of them had Moises. But my guess is it's going to end up being a Latin American family that. You're going to say that's a first family of baseball because you're
probably the Guerreros.
Two kids. I don't think it's going to be the Correas. I don't know if Carlos's brother is in the Astros minor league system, but the dad didn't come up, you know, in baseball. Maybe the Guerreros. Maybe is there another? You know, just like for example, Geronimo Pena has Jeremy Pena. Now we're talking about, you know, Jeremy. I get that he's first ballot Hall of Fame, but you got to actually. We're talking about now. Brett Boone was good. That's not a Hall of Famer. Bob Boone was Bob. I don't think any of those three were Hall of Famers, are they?
No.
Are the Boones?
I don't think Bob is.
But
no.
You also have some managerial. You also have managerial stuff there at play.
Yeah, right. Aaron is the manager. Bob was a manager, if I'm not mistaken, as well.
So there's not a dad and two sons that we can think of in baseball? There's never been a dad and two sons? Like with the Mannings?
Well... No, I know. I don't think the dad, the alludes.
How about? Let me throw this one at you. What about Chris Long, Kyle Long, and Howie Long?
Yeah, but I don't think they're obviously not as great.
That's
as
not
Mannings.
The same as. It's not, no, as, not, same it's as not great. As great but as, that's a dad and two. That's a dad and two sons.
What about Geronimo and Jeremy Pena?
Yeah, I just brought him up. I literally just said that to you.
Yeah, I mean they may be the first family now.
Ahead of the Griffies?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Geronimo Pena? He was on was he on the Big Red Machine?
That was Geronimo. Was Geronimo Pena on the Big Red Machine? He might have been.
He was with the Reds. I think it may have been afterwards.
Yeah. I Geronimo Pena, you know. Yeah, he was with the Cardinals. He was with the,
let's see. With the Reds also?
He was. No, he was never with the Reds.
No,
he was Cleveland.
Yeah, okay, so that's right. He was Cleveland.
Yeah,
Geronimo Pena. You know, Geronimo was all he played was from '93 to '96. That dude was still playing in '96.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, he played from 90 to 96.
90 to 96, right.
I thought he played longer than that.
I thought he was before that, too, but no.
I did, too. I thought Geronimo Pena was way before that. I'm asking about Big Red Machine. The guy started in 90.
Yeah. Yeah, he was not Big Red. No, you're thinking of another Geronimo. There's so many Geronimo. There's so many Geronimo.
Yeah, there was another. There was another Geronimo that was with the Reds, I think, but it was not Geronimo. Pena.
Yeah,
you're right.
All right. So we're gonna have Brett Boone at the bottom of the hour right here on ESPN.
And by the way, did you see Zach Greinke? The latest picture. This kid. Did you ever see? Did you see that on social media?
The kid asked him a question and.
No, they wanted to take. He goes, "Hey, can I?" All these there was nine Royals. At this outdoor, they were seated. They were at a restaurant, like a burger place or something. I don't know. He goes, "Hey, you guys care if I take a picture with you? I'm a huge Royals fan." They go, "Cool, that's fine." So the guy got in place to do a selfie, and so everyone turned around from two different tables, except Zach, who turned the opposite way so his face wouldn't be in the picture. And he goes, "Hey, Zach, you want to turn around for the shot?" And they go, and the players, and the kids at the player said, "He's not going to. Just take the picture." So he took a picture, and Zach Greinke has turned the opposite way so he wouldn't be in the picture. I mean, Zach Greinke is such a people hater.
He's not a people hater. He's in his own little world. We were thinking of Cesar Geronimo from the Reds. Yeah.
Remember? Well, hold on. Okay, Cesar Geronimo, was that also the father of Geronimo Pena?
No, that's different. It's different.
But Cesar Geronimo, they're cousins.
We're not in China where the first name goes first. The last name goes first.
What if they were cousins? Cesar Geronimo, Geronimo Pena?
Yeah, they're not.
Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, so. But
first family of basketball. Who's your first family of basketball? Feels like a summer topic.
The first family of basketball is Dolph and Danny Shays.
Could be Steph. No, it's got to be Curry's. Curry, Seth Curry, and Del Curry.
Yep. Yeah. That's the first
thing. Got to be the Curry's. Yeah.
Not Dolph
Three
and
good
Danny.
Players.
Not Dolph
one
and Danny
One Hall of
Shays.
Famer, one good one, and no, I don't think it's Dolph and Danny. Danny was all right. Dolph was pretty good. What about Danny?
Dolph is a
what about Jelly Bean Bryant and Kobe? Yeah. No, we're not. I mean, it was good with the Kobe part. Jelly Bean, not as much. Not as much.
Yeah. No. Yeah, it's the Currys, no question.
It's the Currys, 100% Currys.
Yeah, 100% Currys. All right, 713-780-3776. We've got our man coming our way next. As a matter of fact, Brett Boone is going to be joining us next on the show right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So we'll talk to him about being in the first family of baseball. But right now, I'm talking about the Morley Law Firm. MorleyLaw.com, MorleyLaw.com. If you're looking for that lawyer that is going to save you from whatever issue you're having right now, it's the Morley Law Firm. Go to MorleyLaw.com. MorleyLaw.com is the law firm that was going to hook a brother up with any kind of issue that you're having. And you know what? This happens. It happens out there. And maybe you're wrongfully accused or maybe you're rightfully accused, but you still need that expertise. You still need those people, expert advice and representation. This is what you're looking for. And we had Arden Morley on, David Falk. I've met him as well, Hugh Brasher, and Udo, and I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name, but Udo is specializing in immigration problems that people are having. And if you're having an immigration problem, if you know someone with an immigration problem and you need to have some help, get some people that know what they're doing in this. And listen, it doesn't matter what your issue is. The Morley Law Firm is going to help you out. My man, Carlos Silva, hooked this up. He is marketing for them. And he's so unbelievable. And he brought all of us together. And he said, "Hey guys, you got to meet. I want you to meet these guys." And I met these guys. And I want to tell you, I would use them if I had any issue whatsoever. These guys are awesome. And if you're looking for help when you need it, and you need it most, if you've got law issues, no matter what it is, get a consultation. In a lot of instances, it's a free consultation. MorleyLaw.com, MorleyLaw, MorleyLaw.com, or 713-839-9955.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. That last segment sparked a little conversation, the first family of baseball. And joining us is the guy who wrote the book on big league stories from my life in baseball's first family. Brett Boone joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brett, welcome to the show. How are you?
Doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. You know, we started the show this morning talking about Jeremy Pena. And Jeremy Pena is the son of Geronimo Pena, and he just looks ready for big league. He's 10 games into his big league career, and he had a beautiful walk last night with the bases loaded. He took a 3-2 pitch and walked with the bases loaded. And we said, you know, it's just different when you come from a baseball family when your dad was in the big leagues. That's got to be – you can attest to the fact how much different it is to grow up in the big leagues when you're a kid.
Well, you know, I've addressed this question more times than you could imagine, I'm sure. I thought about it over the years, and because when I was growing up, that was the constant, hey, what's it like, this and that, and then I got to the big leagues and I started my career. They said it had to be easier for you. I know one thing. Didn't hurt. But that being said, when you go from a kid growing up in that atmosphere, growing up coming to the ballpark with your dad, that's one thing. Being in that clubhouse as a player, and that's what you do for a living now, is completely different. So, you know, it's not automatic, but definitely. I don't think there's any negatives to it. And I did see that walk last night. That is big. People, you know, the little things that we see, the nuances in the game, when you're a young player trying to make a name for yourself, especially playing for a pretty high-profile team with the Astros, to come up in that situation with the bases loaded, the first thing as a young player you want to do is that you get overly aggressive. And that pitcher, usually a veteran pitcher, will prey on that aggressiveness. Just the fact that, and you brought it up in the opening, the fact that he was able to work that walk in that situation, it's a bigger deal than just on the surface. It's a pretty big sign of the maturity he has already at such an early time in his big league career.
Brett Boone with us here on ESPN 97. I'm sorry, me and my co-hosts are in different places, so that makes it a little bit more difficult. Brett Boone with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You said you were watching that game last night. You're an Astros fan?
I watch all the games. You know, I got to find out what's going on, and you know, in all the different divisions, the battles that are starting early. You know, I picked my teams to click at the beginning of the season, and I just keep up with them. So, yeah, I was watching a game last night. You know, I watched Garcia come out, started off like actually pitched a pretty good game. But I've always been intrigued by the Astros. I really like that lineup. I like the. It's one of the best lineups in the game and has been for a while. They go about it just in a different way. They think the game at a higher level, and you can see it. I've watched them through the years. I think it kind of starts with Altuve and Bregman. Correa's been there for years. But they talk to one another throughout the lineup and throughout the game on pitchers, tendencies. That's something my early 2000 Mariner teams, we used to do, and I love to see it because it's such a – That's kind of my passion, the game outside the game of baseball and thinking through at a higher level, the mental strategy and the chess game. It's awesome, and I think the Astros, not only this year but half of the last 5 years, they're very elite when it comes to that.
Well, it's been elevated. I mean, there's no question about that. It's the idea of putting the high home run guy, and of course Craig Biggio and Paul Molitor are two guys who'd be in the 20 home run range who are leadoff hitters, Brett. But now we're seeing, we're seeing teams put guys who are 30 home run guys in the leadoff spots, and we're seeing starting pitchers. It's really changed to where, you know, the idea of an opener in a game, a guy coming in to pitch one, maybe two innings to start a game. I mean, baseball, analytics has really fundamentally changed the way baseball has been played relative to the way that we all grew up with it.
It really has. It's almost a Little League mentality. You know, when you're in Little League the best player always leads off, and the premise behind it is, well, we're going to get him to the plate as many times as we possibly can throughout the course of the game. And that's kind of taken on, they've taken that on in the big leagues. You know, that's what the analytics say, is get our best hitter to the plate as often as possible. And I see that's why you're seeing the home run guys. If you want to go back even farther, the first time I really saw a power hitter in that leadoff hole was for those 80s Angels teams with Brian Dowding. He was the leadoff hitter. He was hitting 30 home runs. And it was kind of unique at the time, you know. Maybe that team was just far ahead of its time. But, yeah, it's interesting. You know, I kind of bat it around and I look at all the angles. And do I like that as much? I don't know. Do I like Mike Trout leading off, or do I want Mike Trout hitting third? You know, the kid in San Diego right now, he's out for a few months. Tatis, do I want him leading off? Do I want him hitting third? I don't know. That's a struggle you're going to go back and forth with the new wave guys in the game and the old school guys. Is that really the way to go? I don't know. I still think the RBI is a premium. You know, I think it's been discounted a little bit in the last few years. But I still think the great players of the game, that's who you want up when people are on base to drive them in. So I'm a purist in that sense, and I'll always stick to that. But the game's definitely changing. It's a faster game. But the velocity's up. The strikeouts are up. I don't know if I necessarily like that, but it is what it is. And each generation has their deals and how they go about business, and time will tell. History will judge whether this was a positive time for baseball.
Brett Boone with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brett, I just can't imagine that the shift would have worked in the 70s, 80s, 90s, because I just can't believe that you don't have the bat control that you can go the other way, and yet it's so effective today. Would you ban the shift right now?
I wouldn't ban anything. No, I think there's too many risks. If we're doing anything, we're making too many new rules. Let's keep the game as simple as possible, and let's keep all the rules that have been in it for hundreds of years. Let's keep it as pure as we possibly can. I'm not an advocate for a lot of change in the game. I think, yes, it's 2022. You got to keep up with the times, and certain things I think have been beneficial. You know, that replay at first base in a playoff game in game six, when is he out or is he safe? You've got to get that call right. That's the difference of how the playoffs are going to shape up. So I think there are some positive things, but too much change, I think, in the long run is detrimental to the game of baseball.
Brett Boone here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Is it just different being a manager in New York City? I mean, you got your brother, the manager of the New York Yankees. You hear from him on what that takes. Is it that much more difficult than anywhere else?
I think it's the biggest pressure cooker. I remember this offseason. He was, they were negotiating his contract, and he called me to say, what do you think? And I said, are you really serious? I said, the bottom line is you're managing the New York Yankees. You have an opportunity to stay there. Why wouldn't you take on that challenge? You know, I see that. Yeah, and it is a different type of pressure. New York's its own animal. But at the same time, that's where I think I'd want to be. I want to be in that pressure cooker. I want to win a World Series in New York because then you're an iconic Yankee manager. If you don't, if you go somewhere else and manage it, and not to demean this, but it's different being the manager of the Kansas City Royals or anywhere of the Texas Rangers than it is the New York Yankees. You win a World Championship in New York. You're the toast of the town forever, and you'll always be in that Yankee family. And I thought, if it's me, I want to go to the most recognizable, the highest pressure cooker, give it to me, and we'll see. We'll go from there. And I think he made the right decision. Aaron's he's a good kid. He's got great baseball knowledge. He's really good. You know, I think one of his best attributes is running that clubhouse getting along with the guys, knowing the personality. I think that's what managing is all about. It's not about X's and O's. Anybody can do that. Anybody can get a computer form and just fill it out. It's It's getting the best out of your current roster, and I think Aaron does a really good job. I think you have to have the ability to kick some guys in the butt and give another guy a hug to get the same result. And I think Aaron, he's a real people's person, and I think he's done a great job in the last few years, considering everything that's gone on, and especially the injuries. They've been real injury-riddled in Yankee Town.
Why aren't you managing?
I didn't get it. No.
Why aren't you managing?
Maybe one day I will. The thing about it is, with me, I retired, I walked away from the game and kind of disappeared and kind of did my own thing. And I don't think you just wake up one day and say, oh, I'm going to manage now, so I'm ready. You know, it might be a slow process. One day I might be back on the field again. I'm really interested in it. Like I said, it's my whole game. It's been my whole life. It's my passion. It's what I know. And maybe one day I'll be back on the field. We'll see.
I really find it interesting what you said about New York, because that's your mindset, and you're talking about your brother's mindset. You know, I think a lot of people think there's probably a lot of players or even managers who think they have that mindset, but then when they get to New York, they realize, ooh, this is more than I was expecting because of the attention and the passion of the fan bases and the media, frankly. So I think that the New York thing, and maybe to an extent Chicago, but it really is – different than some people expect. Like, I wonder sometimes if Gerrit Cole thought it was going to be one thing and then realized once he got there, man, this light is bright. They expect you. They will cheer you like crazy, but they expect returns when you're considered a star player.
Without a doubt. The only thing I can really compare New York to is, you know, when I grew up in this environment was Philadelphia. I mean, I watched Steve Carlton and Mike Schmidt as a kid get booed out of the stadium, two of the greatest players of all time. But you talk to them nowadays, and I do a podcast twice a week. We had Schmidt on, we had Carlton on, and you asked them about it. And they said, you know, Philly is unique in its own way, and I wouldn't trade it for anything, my career in Philadelphia. I always enjoyed going to Philadelphia. I like hearing the fans. You know, fans, you buy a ticket and you come to the ballpark and you have the right to do anything you want, as long as you keep it reasonable, you know. I used to love going to New York as a visiting player. I used to love waking up in New York and walking down the street to get a coffee and a donut before I go to the ballpark that afternoon and just listen to the interaction, listen to the fans. I remember pulling out of the Grand Hyatt at 9 a.m. to go in to get a coffee, and some guy from across the street would scream at me, "Boone, you suck. We're going to kick your ass tonight." I love that. And that would get a smile back. He's laughing at the same time. That's just the way fans are in New York. They expect a lot from their team, but they're passionate, knowledgeable baseball fans. If you don't win and you can't handle the pressure cooker, maybe it isn't for you. But, man, what a bright light and something I would just love to do, be on that stage.
Brett Boone here. Before we let you go, where was your favorite place to play? You moved around a little bit. Where was your favorite place?
Well, I really, you know, the people in Seattle were so good to me. You know, my best years were in Seattle. We had some really good teams, a lot of lifelong friends that I made in the early 2000s in Seattle. Cincinnati was great. But as far as playing just the game and hitting, Yankee Stadium is going to be second, but my favorite place to play is definitely Anaheim Stadium. Definitely against the Angels. I don't know why. It was that the weather. That's where I grew up, from high school and college, and felt like I was at home. But I just loved hitting in Anaheim, and so that was probably my favorite place to play.
Well, and they had some good teams, and you were in that division, and yeah, that 2002 team was pretty damn good. Ended up winning it all.
That American League West in the early 2000s was tough.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, great spending some time with you. We really appreciate it. Sounds like you're ready to be a big league manager. Hopefully whatever you hope for will come true for you. Thanks for spending time with us this morning here on the show.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
Brett Boone right here on ESPN 97.5. And 92.5. Good stuff. Sounds like, he's still keeping up. There's a lot of guys that we interview, Lance, that aren't keeping up with it. That dude, watching Jeremy Pena last night.
Well, he's got a podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one thing. A podcast is your own radio show, basically.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, he definitely. And how about when you ask him if he wanted to be a manager? Who said I'm not? Who said I won't? Maybe I am going to be.
Like, maybe okay. I will, mother. What?
Say,
I didn't say,
I didn't say you're not
aren't.
Going
why,
to.
I just said, why aren't you? Yeah. I mean, I didn't say that you shouldn't. I just said, hey.
Everything's fine.
Sounded
everything's
like you wanted fine. To. People, I don't know why people take me the wrong way. Some, like your wife. I was just, yeah. I was trying to give her a compliment. And
yeah,
here she hates me now.
Well, she just can't run. Like, she's had a personal record of 347 in Houston.
She's got a bulky knee right now.
I know. She ran super fast in Houston, and then now she can't even, like, she can't even hardly train. I honestly, I cannot believe she even finished 26 miles on that knee. That's incredible. And then drank after that.
Yeah. Well, that's what you have to do, drink after.
Fire down the bubbles. She started firing down the bubbles.
Good for her. 944 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What about Craig DeSerf? Does he? I don't know if he partakes.
Yeah, I can. Craig DeSerf can put some. He's not a. He was a professional, or he was a competitive bodybuilder at one point. As a matter of fact, so he knows what it means to compete. And you know what? He's competing out there every single time for every single day for your business. He, Rick Drender, their entire staff, their service department, they consider it a competition, but they also believe that the process is important. And so for them, it's about making sure that they have the right prices, that they have the best service available before the sale, meaning, you know, the way that they treat you, they want you to be comfortable, you to handle the Carbine experience, you to ask the questions that you need to ask. But maybe more importantly than anything, they want to make sure that your Carbine experience is the best before and even after the sale, including the just standard service. If they need to drive a vehicle into Houston for you or drive the papers into whatever the case may be, they're going to go that extra mile. And that's why people buy their first, second, third cars from Craig DeSerf over at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. It's not just the 0% financing right now on the Chevy Silverado 2022s for well-qualified buyers. Yeah, that's a great offer and a great deal, but they treat you so well, and the Carbine experience is so easy that you tell your family members and your family members. Correa got vehicles for both of his parents over at Gulf Coast Chevy. Jose Altuve has been getting vehicles over there. I promise you, you will love the Carbine experience in Angleton. The best prices, the best selection, the best service. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Go to LanceZCars.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on the Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Lance, do you think that kindergartners should drink tequila at lunch?
Did you say tequila?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Maestro de Bell.
Well... Well, this, yeah, maybe
for the teachers, for the teachers, not for children. Remember when they used to bring apples today? Who was the apple for? It was for the teacher. Why not do something better for your teacher, like a Maestro Nobel?
One little girl at a Michigan school brought in a bottle of ready-to-drink Jose Cuervo margaritas, and all the kids thought it was juice. So they were all drinking it at lunch.
Oh, no, no. That was for the teacher.
Well, no.
That was for Mrs. Davis.
Somehow the little girl got brought it in. She knew it was alcohol. She walked up to the teacher with the glass and said, there's alcohol in this. And the teacher laughed and said, yes, okay. And all the kids drank, and some felt a little loose.
Believe the children. Believe the children.
Yeah. So I think... Yeah, it's a good start for the kids.
My mama said this is for you.
Lance, you like pretty feet, don't you?
I mean, I don't like ugly feet.
A woman has quit her 9-to-5 life by selling pictures of her feet online. Do you want her address?
Yeah, no. No, I don't, and it makes me sick that I see how many people make how much money based on just things that don't even... It's unbelievable. We're sitting here grinding away. Well... Some of us.
Her TikTok clip racked up a huge 1.3 million views. How many times did you click on that?
I didn't click at all.
You didn't?
No, I didn't click at all.
I'm not sure about that. Apparently, a new survey out says cheating wives are more likely to own a cat. Does your wife want to get a cat?
No, she's a dog person.
She's a dog person. Yeah,
she hates cats. I showed trust her. I saw that story. I showed it to her yesterday. She's like, good thing I'm a dog person.
Good thing. great thing.
Dude, what about you? Didn't you used to have a cat?
We used to have a cat. My wife hated it.
Uh-oh.
She hated Jinxie the cat. She did. I mean, because the cat would be in the house.
John.
Yeah. How about this? A Florida couple used a cat as a weapon during a domestic dispute. Do you think you should use a cat to scratch your partner's face?
During a domestic dispute.
Yeah.
I think that's, a crazy cat. Have you ever seen crazy cats attack people?
They're very scary. Are you kidding? They're very scary.
Yeah.
Apparently, more couples nowadays are enjoying open relationships because they're bored with each other. Do you feel that you should have an open relationship if you're bored?
Do you feel... Let's start flipping these. Do you feel like you should have an open relationship? I get asked all the hard questions.
No, I'm just asking. I'm asking you a question. I need an answer.
Maybe don't get married.
A Florida man...
Maybe just stay with an open-ended contract.
That's all. Just don't get married, Tiger. That's all, and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
No one will care how many Perkins waitresses you have. A Florida man was arrested after dining on spaghetti with his bare hands. Do you think you should be arrested if you eat spaghetti with your bare hands?
I mean, I feel like there's certain things you should be admonished for. Arrest feels like it's too much. The whole process of booking somebody, what are we booking them for? They're in Florida. Of all places, Florida. Did you say a Florida man?
Yeah. Of all the places,
and they're arresting you for spaghetti with the hands?
Yeah.
In Florida?
Yeah.
The nerve of Floridians.
Apparently a Las Vegas student is, now in some trouble. This high schooler allegedly punched and strangled a teacher unconscious because he was angry about his grades. Are any of your kids ever going to be that upset about their grades that they will punch and strangle their teacher?
They don't care about their grades. No one's
going to
care.
Is Mason going to ever punch or strangle his teacher?
Well, if he wasn't suspended today, I would tell you.
If he wasn't suspended today?
That's correct. You heard right.
Oh, my gosh. And you guys are
You're correct.
And Meemaw's taking care of this right now?
Yeah, we got a discussion. There's a discussion that's going to be had this evening.
I'm sure that's not going to go well for a young Mason.
It's not. It's going to go very poorly. I kept that info from his mom yesterday while she was getting ready while she was running a marathon and finished it. I'm like, yeah, that's not going to tell her today. It's her day.
It's a great day for her until she found out. Mason was suspended. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, we're just gonna keep this quiet.
That's just a shame. All right, we're done. 9:56 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Vanessa and Gallant next right here. Y'all have a great day, everybody. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.